Recording in progress.
And we return to the record, turning to intervener's case.
Okay, we have an internet outage situation at the neighborhood of my witness, and she was going to try again, but also was wondering if she can call in instead of appearing on Zoom.
I think that would be preferable to having a later date scheduled.
Okay.
My general preference is not to have people call in, but how long do you think she'd be on direct? Remind me from
Mary,
your...
I only have like 5 or 6 questions.
Okay, that's fine then. Sure.
I need to send her... I'm just seeing if she's on here.
There's a 206 number that just popped up.
Oh, there you are. Is that you, Kay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, we have the thumbs up for a phone call in.
And can you please state your name and spell it for the record?
My name is Margaret M-A-R-G-A-R-E-T-A-L-I. And I go by
Peg. All right. Ms. Saley, just want to touch base with you first. I'm going to swear you in and just want to remind you that as you're on the phone, I don't typically allow it because it can be awkward. This isn't a normal phone conversation, so if somebody says something, you may be inclined to be polite to say, yes, or something along those lines. Don't say anything unless you've been asked a question by your attorney or by an opposing counsel. Or by me. You may, when you're being questioned by your counsel or others, hear an attorney say objection. If you hear objection, please stop immediately. We also have your phone number. If there is a disconnection, we'll try to reach you, and hopefully this will work to proceed. Did you hear everything I said okay?
I did. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Bailey. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will provide in today's hearing will be the truth?
I do.
Your witness, Ms. Newman.
Thank you. And did you spell your last name? I wasn't paying attention.
Sure. It's Staley. S-T-A-E-H-E-L-I.
Okay. Thank you. And can you describe your background and education to the extent it's relevant to the issues presented in this hearing?
Correct. I'm a licensed landscape architect and graduate of Washington State University with a bachelor's of science in landscape architecture, 1978. Practiced for over 40 years. I am semi-retired right now. I was a principal of SBR Design Company, which merged now MIG, but our work at SBR was pretty broad scale. We did, in particular, like infrastructure, what a lot of people consider infrastructure, so urban infrastructure, streets, roads, parks, site development, utilities, storm drainage, power, landscape.
Okay.
Okay, and then relative to the tree ordinance, I was on the urban forestry, actually on the founding part of the Urban Forestry Commission, I think 2009 through 2014. I don't think it takes off because we went a little bit longer. So I was chair for my last of the commission, and I also worked, I was the lead for the High Point development, I guess from a tree perspective, the High Point development, and led the tree preservation and replanting on that 120 acres.
What was the High Point development, just big picture?
Sure. High Point was an established housing authority redevelopment of an existing neighborhood that I went from 800 units to 1,600 units with for sale market, senior housing, so mixed income, parcels for sale.
What was your role on that project?
So I was the lead for the site related work for infrastructure, utilities, streets, roads, landscapes, open space, and a significant effort on tree preservation.
Okay. And have
so
you
that,
worked?
That was.
I know. Go ahead.
I was going to say that started in 2002 and then went through 2016.
Okay. And in your experience, have you done feasibility studies for development projects?
Yes, actually quite a bit for a full range from, you know, single family to multi-family mixed use, affordable housing, institutional multi-site, not single-site multi-site. So pretty simple projects, pretty simple, you know, feasibility to very complex feasibility studies.
Okay. And you mentioned you were on the Urban Forestry Commission. Did you have any role or involvement with respect to the tree protection ordinance that's at issue at this hearing?
So this particular draft ordinance, no. Earlier ordinances that were earlier, they weren't just in this cycle.
Right.
Yes, they did come before the commission.
Okay.
But they never made it out.
All right. And did you listen to any of the testimony at this hearing? Have you been listening in?
As much as my internet connection was working.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Did you hear indication from the appellant's attorney that the Urban Forestry Council is pro-tree?
Yeah.
What's your thought about that? Is it pro-tree?
That
and I say pro-tree, I mean pro-protection of tree.
That would be an incorrect understanding of the Urban Forestry Commission, especially as it is structured by the City of Seattle. It's a specific commission, so it's set up to reflect a broad perspective on urban tree issues in the city, but that includes positions that would be like real estate, finance, biology, arborist, landscape architecture, there's Get Engaged, and I'm forgetting others, but it's a broad group and definitely broad perspective.
Okay. And back to this feasibility analysis experience that you have, there's been testimony by some of the appellant's witnesses about whether sites with trees on them would make it through a feasibility analysis. In your experience, can you speak to that? First, let me ask, did you hear that testimony?
I did, actually.
Okay. Can you respond to the, give me your thoughts about that?
Well, yes. It's not been my experience that a tree, or a significant tree, or an exceptional tree, has, because of the way the code is written, has stopped a project as a routine. There, I can only think of one, and it was an unusual condition.
Okay. And there's been some discussion about the goal for tree canopy coverage in the city. Are you generally familiar with the tree canopy goals that have been established by the city?
Generally, yes.
Okay. And did you hear the questioning along the lines of why the city would want to increase protection for trees if it's close to or exceeded the goal for tree canopy protection?
Yes, I did hear that.
Based on your experience and your knowledge from the work you've done, do you have any insight into that?
Right. I mean, the goals are, we're talking, you know, I forget the year, 2030, 2035, and the goal is taking into account that development will occur, houses get remodeled, trees die, there are windstorms, so there's an understanding that in order to grow the goal, you have to account for the loss as well. So you're going to lose trees over time, and so that's accounted for in the goals of each management unit.
Okay, so the city may, increasing protection for trees, does that still make sense even if it's close to or exceeded their goal?
Yeah, but also, my understanding of the 2016 LIDAR study also included, there's been lots of testimony about the LIDAR study and the details of that, but it also picked up things like laurel, cotinia, some other plants that were, you know, maybe larger shrubs, but not considered trees. It wasn't able to separate those.
Okay.
And that's included in that 28%.
Okay. And do you have any other thoughts about the testimony that you heard before we close?
I guess my only thing that I think to get across is from what I've heard and read is that having the option, you know, from my perspective on looking at sites, of being blue is significant in moving this forward. And that was pretty controversial from the pro-tree, I'll use that term, side, but it's very much understood that on a pragmatic basis, there are some sites that protecting a tree would be extremely difficult. And so there is a way for developers to develop that site, or a single family remodel, so, you know, or addition or something, or putting in an ADU to develop the site and pay a fee. And that fee then goes to increasing canopy by planting trees in other locations, as I understand it, in the public right of way or public property.
Okay.
So tied to that, because of that, I think it's much more flexible than the current. The existing code was a difficult code for people to understand and to go through design reviews. That I am this much, they've clarified the problem.
And I think that is all my questions.
Great.
That is all my questions.
We'll go to Cross by the city.
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you for serving on the Urban Forestry Commission. I actually don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
We'll go to Cross by the appellants.
Yes. Hello, Ms. Staley. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
Hi. So I represent the appellants in this matter, and I just have a few follow-up questions here. So you mentioned that the UFC, the Urban Forestry Commission, reflects a broad perspective. And is there a developer's position on the UFC?
They have changed some of the titles, and I think it's a combined developer. They may have combined it to developer finance. Sometimes an architect has been in that position. They've had a developer in that position.
Go ahead, Ms. Daly, if you had something further to say.
There was also an economist on the board, or on the commission when I was on the board.
And do you know who the current person is in that role for the developer real estate industry?
I do not, but I know that it's listed on the website. Sorry, I don't know off the top of my head.
And would you be surprised to learn that this person in that position, David Boring, has filed numerous land use appeals opposing development?
I would I be surprised? Again, it's a public volunteer board, so I would say that I mean, it's a citizen's commission, so there's one, that's one voice. But when I was on the board, there were multiple, there's 8 or 10 positions now, and there's quite a bit of discussion on items. So it would not be a board that I would say was it's intentionally there to have a broad perspective.
But if the developer's position specifically was filled by a person who has filed double-digit land use appeals opposing development, would you still support the statement that this reflects a broad perspective of ideas?
Yes, because that's one person on an 8-member board.
Ms. Staley, have you ever gone through the permitting process with SDCI to remove an exceptional tree by demonstrating allowed FAR cannot be achieved?
With architects led that process, so I wasn't the lead on that. So yes, but I was not the lead.
And do you recall what type of development that was?
Housing.
Right, but do you recall what type of housing?
Well, it's more than one. One would have been more one was definitely a mixed use, four-story. Another was a smaller, but maybe it was just a three-story multi-unit development. And I would have to say that we dealt with the exceptional trees on the High Point project significantly. The High Point project, we had several exceptional trees and dealt with site plans to show the ability to retain or not.
And that was for public housing, correct? Not private?
No. Sorry, no. That is mixed income, mixed use. There were half the site is private developers, and they would buy parcels. So we also supported that work with the private developers.
No further questions. Thank you, Ms. Steele.
And we'll go to redirect with Ms. Newman, please.
I have no questions. Thank you.
Ms. Staley, thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for putting up with us.
All right. With that, I understand that we are completed with witness presentation. Is that correct?
Yep.
For all parties?
Okay. Yes.
All right. Anything more for record development before we proceed to discuss closing?
I have one item. I sent that design guidelines document to the examiner's office today. I'm not sure I had sent that before, so I just wanted to give you a heads up on that.
I do have that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
So all exhibits have been admitted.
Your Honor, actually, I have one question that I was intending to ask a witness that I was thinking about as we just heard from the intervener's witness. I have not yet communicated to the person who I'm going to ask one more question to, but would I have the ability to do that before the city closes?
Well, you did close, and is this in rebuttal to the interveners, or?
No, it's okay. I will leave it at that.
Yeah, I think
it's not in rebuttal. It's not in rebuttal to the interveners.
Right. I think we've got a pretty clean record right now, including from the appellant. So let's not open the box again.
I think so.
All right. Let's move to closing. If I can get closing in written form, from the party representatives. It would be much appreciated to do so. When would the representatives be able to file those briefs? And
can I grab my calendar?
Yes, and a question while you're looking at that is, are we looking at a single simultaneous submission or responses in addition to...
I'll be right back.
Okay.
The city would be okay either way. I guess I would be glad to hear from Mr. Gribben. I would be fine if we did a single closing brief, or if the preference would be that we would do a single closing brief with then a follow-on response. I'm okay with that also. Whatever is preferred.
Mr. Gribben or Ms. Newman, do you have a preference for the briefing pattern?
So I think it'd be preferable to reserve maybe a brief reply to the other submissions.
Okay. Let's look to a schedule for that then. When would the first submission come in? We'll do that all simultaneous and then an opportunity for response. Today is the 22nd of June.
Wait, I'm sorry, I'm not quite understanding. Are you saying it would be appellant first and then intervener city and then a reply by appellant?
Well, Mr. Gribben used the term reply. I thought initially that you'd all submit simultaneously and then a response, but there's other ways to do it. So.
When I said reply, response is probably a more accurate term.
All right, so
have
we'll
two
have...
briefs.
Yes.
At the same time and then two briefs at the same time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a initial brief and everybody gets a chance at a response.
I like that.
Okay. When is the initial brief due for you all? That works for your schedule.
So I know generally just in my past experience it's been around 2 weeks, but I do have an ongoing trial and then a response to a LUPA brief due next Friday. So if we could have until July 11th, that would be preferable.
That sounds reasonable.
If folks wanted more time than that, I certainly wouldn't protest.
Well, this is a legislation and of interest to numerous folks in the city, so we don't want to take too long. If we can do the 11th and the response due on the 15th.
I guess my only other request is maybe we could just push it to the following Monday.
I cannot respond on the 15th because I'll be out of commission in the mountains on the 11th through the 15th.
I hope you are not out of commission in the mountains. It's a bad place to do it.
Well, off the internet, off the grid.
All right. That's fair. How about the 19th then? That'll give you a couple days back. All right. Closing brief due July 11. Response. July 19. Anything else we need to address before we adjourn?
Nothing further from the appellants.
Not from the interveners.
All right.
Nothing further from the city either.
All right, then. With that, then, the record is closed, except for our closing briefing that we've identified a schedule for. Exhibits have been admitted. All witness testimony has been received. Thank the party representatives for your courtesy with each other and with the witnesses, and with your efficiency with the process, that we were able to stay within the original schedule, and appreciate your efforts to do so. I look forward to seeing your final arguments. And with that, the hearing is closed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.